A bit of advice for winter weather. People curtail their outdoor activities because of rain. For walking in the rain, one needs waterproof trousers. Skiing trousers help one to keep warm. However, waterproof boots and shoes are more difficult to find. Many jackets are only rainproof for a time, although umbrellas are useful if there is no wind. A relevant quotation is, "There is no inclement weather, only inadequate clothing." Audrey Lomax, Nanaimo. Eby is doing better for those in his caucus. This is what Premier David Eby stated after the election. "The voters of BC have made their choice and we hear you. We need to do better." But did he really hear us? It turns out that the statement, "we need to do better," actually referred to his caucus, and with the stroke of many pens he can rest assured that his NDP family is much better off with a raise for one and all to the tune of $2 million added to the payroll. "Not what I had in mind. It seems convenient for a new government that will be hanging on for dear life. As for the Green Party and their talks with the government, I suggest they slap the hand in the cookie jar before any deals. I might have missed it, but I did not hear them question the raises." Mr. Eby, "I am now 6 months past an expired collective agreement with my employer, part of which is surely due to government policy. Before you dole out any more cash to keep your caucus smiling, keep the electorate in mind, please. We need to do better, indeed. Because we are not amused." Murray Osler, Campbell River. The Sonich plan. "When pigs can fly." Can't understand why such a fuss is being kicked up over the proposed reduction of traffic lanes on Mackenzie Avenue. Anyone stuck in traffic will be able to latch onto one of the many airborne pigs flapping their wings over the congestion. Eat your heart out, Uber. Earl Fowler, View Royal. Removing problems using municipal logic. I like the logic of the letter writer who responded to the suggestion that reducing traffic lanes will make cars disappear. They used this same logic to suggest that if we halt residential construction, people will disappear. I would like to add that this logic can also be used to suggest that we stop paying our taxes in the hopes that our municipal politicians will disappear, too. Catherine Carlson, Sonich. Give consideration to community builders. I loved the recent letter outlining the time it would take a 10-mile point resident to get to Victoria General Hospital, but believe it missed a few crucial points, such as the wait time between connections and the possibility granny might be on a walker. 3 or 4 hours might be needed, even if this scenario were possible. Contrast this with another scene: open garage door, get in car, turn on heat and drive safely to your destination. Yes, cars offer comfort and convenience and we have become used to them. When people have become accustomed to something, when it is a large part of how they live, it is impossible to exchange it for something much less desirable. In Greater Victoria, we have a large population of folk who can't bike or walk far, or want to stand in the rain at a bus stop. Many of them helped build this city, surely they should be given consideration. When something, flying machines, magic carpets, becomes available, that will be the time to denounce car travel. Meanwhile, why not appropriate properties on the Mackenzie route? See how that one goes. Ivy Pie, Sonich. Overdose prevention needed in hospitals. An estimated 165,000 to 225,000 British Columbians from all walks of life will access the unregulated drug market throughout any 12 months, including about half who do not have a substance use disorder or fit into the definition of addiction. Society continues to shame, punish and stigmatize people who use drugs, forcing many to conceal their drug use. The unregulated drug market is dominated by toxic mixtures of strong opioids and benzodiazepines, which in combination cause over-sedation and respiratory depression. When these dangerous effects occur secretly, there is no opportunity for a timely first aid response. Stigma is fueling a public health crisis that isolates and kills an average of 6 people each day in BC, While it might not be acceptable to some, the reality is that drug use occurs in most places, including in healthcare settings. As in other environments, drug users are typically forced to use in secret when in hospital. Healthcare workers have rightfully expressed safety concerns about this reality, and many advocate for evidence-based, practical solutions. This week, healthcare providers are setting up an overdose prevention site on the grounds of the Royal Jubilee Hospital and Nanaimo Regional General Hospital to demonstrate a life-saving intervention. There are more than 50 supervised consumption and overdose prevention sites in BC. Substantial evidence shows that these services save lives, support patients to remain in the hospital, and provide pathways to voluntary treatment and recovery. Overdose prevention services should be implemented in hospitals immediately for the safety of us all. Heather Hobbs, RSW, Victoria. Address inequality to prevent problems. Homelessness and food insecurity are rapidly growing phenomena across Canada. These issues have their roots in inequality and the erosion of a social safety net over the past 50 to 60 years. How do our federal and provincial governments justify leaving municipalities, nonprofits, and communities to bear the burden of their neglect? How much longer can nonprofits serve a growing need that is the result of neglect at all levels of governance? The fact that the lowest-earning Canadians increasingly go without shelter, food, and other basic necessities of life matters little to our elected officials, it seems, as no interest or action to support them adequately is demonstrated at any level. Most elected officials seem more concerned with getting re-elected and pleasing corporations and the middle class, ignoring the growing cost of neglecting those with the least. Meanwhile, nonprofits and social service organizations do their best to support those left behind, with shrinking donation bases and growing need. Don't blame the poor, who are disproportionately seniors, disabled people, youth without family supports, newcomers, and single-parent families with few options for increasing their incomes due to economic, health, childcare, language, and other barriers. Nobody wants to be poor, ignored, and treated like trash. Think Pandora Avenue bylaw suites of tent cities, where the homeless and their belongings are tossed out. Delays in proactively addressing poverty and inequality causes needless suffering, increased health and public safety costs, and preventable deaths. These problems will continue to grow, and cost more and more, sadly, and nobody wants to address it in a meaningful way. Jennifer Heinrichs, Victoria. No room for dignity in BC. Hospitals. When I arrived at North Island Hospital in Campbell River to visit my father, I was shocked to learn he had been unceremoniously and, without warning, transferred, not to another room, but to the hallway. In mere minutes, he was handed a hospital-issued bag and told to pack up so housekeeping could start sanitizing the space for another patient. My father, who has paid taxes his entire life into the healthcare system, was reduced to a bed in a corridor. Sadly, this is not an isolated incident. A friend shared that their father and uncle experienced the same hallway transfer during hospital stays in Campbell River. Overcapacity is forcing staff into impossible decisions, leaving loved ones upset and compromising care. This is dehumanizing, this is harmful to a patient's mental health, and this is happening right now in BC's hospitals. Consider this. My father, born in 1946, is part of the baby boomer generation, which spans until 1964 and includes more than 9 million Canadians. If those at the beginning of this generation are already relegated to hospital hallways, what does that say about the future of BC's overburdened healthcare system? Hallway healthcare should not be the norm. We must demand action to address these systemic failures before the dignity of our loved ones and the integrity of our healthcare system is eroded any further. My father deserves better. We all do. Emily Longton, Campbell River. Education matters in shaping leaders. If we don't keep up our investments in schools, salaries for teachers and support staff, maintaining and building new plants, curriculum development, equipment and machinery, special needs studies and support of the public, We will elect felons, rapists, con men, hustlers, egotistical sociopaths to lead our community and country. I wonder if the United States has learned this lesson. David Gray, Sydney. Send U.S. your letters. Email letters to letters@timescolonist.com. Mail. Letters to the editor, Times Colonist, 201 to 655 Tai Road, Victoria, BCV 9A6X5. Submissions should be no more than 250 words, subject to editing for length and clarity. Provide your contact information, it will not be published. Avoid sending your letter as an email attachment.